It started on a Friday night with five friends unwinding over drinks in Mexico City. Well into the evening, their conversation drifted. They started talking about how tired they were of hearing success stories. So they decided that each of them would take a turn sharing a personal account of some time when they had failed. According to the now widely recounted story of that evening, these five friends found their little exercise so engaging that they wanted to do it again. Only this time, they'd include more of their friends. 2 weeks later, a much larger group gathered. And they listened to three people who shared their biggest failure. They found it liberating, fun, and authentic. So they decided to keep it going once a month. Soon they realized that they had hit on something, an opportunity that would likely prove engaging beyond the circle of their friends. And with that, they launched a global movement that is now called I can't tell you what it's called. Okay. It's not actually that I can't. I just don't think I should. Certainly not from the pulpit.
So the global phenomenon started by those friends in Mexico goes by the acronym FUN. It stands for, well, let's just keep it at F up nights. F up nights is now a global phenomenon. In more than 250 cities, 80 countries, on every continent except Antarctica. Every month, something like 10,000 people attend an F-Up night. At each one, they listen to three people share publicly about their failures. It's a kind of TED Talk in reverse. People stand before a crowd not to wow them with their insight and expertise, but to acknowledge their flaws, their mistakes, times when things didn't go as planned. This movement says that it exists for three kinds of people. Those who have failed, those who will fail, and the liars. Their motto is, free your failure. F Up Nights has evolved. It now includes a whole research component called the Failure Institute. It conducts research, publishes studies, has a global failure index, and a downloadable F Up book. In the State of Business Failure report, they explain, in the business world, failure is much more common than success. But there have been very few studies on it. Our goal is to translate the cases of failure into helpful data and trends so that more informed decisions can be made by businesses, governments, and academia. Imagine a bunch of folks all over the place coming together
so that a few of them can appear before a crowd and attest to some momentous mistake. It's the very opposite of we're all doing the best we can. That's a sentiment that I hear with some frequency, but I've never really understood it. To be honest, whenever I hear someone offering the assurance that we're all doing the best we can, it makes me feel variously uneasy, chagrined, or downright ashamed. I mean, every single one of the rest of you is doing the best you can. While I know beyond any doubt that I'm not, here I am letting down the whole human community. Everyone is doing the best they can, except, regrettably, J.H. You see, I fail at things. I drop the ball. I say things I shouldn't. I don't do things I should. There's a gap between my intentions and my actions, between my values and my choices. I F up regularly. You know what one of my failings is? Don't answer. I don't like to admit when I failed. Oh, you know that's not what I meant. I think you misunderstood. I don't remember saying I would do that. What do you expect? I've got a lot on my plate right now. What was I supposed to do? They irritated me. I can't be perfect, you know. In June of 1961, President John Kennedy met with Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev in Vienna for a series of talks on foreign policy. It started cordially enough, but soon turned quite testy. With mounting exasperation, Kennedy finally asked, "Do you ever admit a mistake?" "Certainly," Khrushchev retorted. "In a speech before the 20th Party Congress, I admitted all of Stalin's mistakes." Anybody here knows such a person? Anybody here ever been that person? Or I should ask, has anyone else here ever been that person? One of the roles that religion in many different forms has played, the sort of wisdom from the world's religions that we acclaim as a source for our liberating religion, is ironically not unlike those F-up nights. With various sorts of rituals in creative ways calling us to introspection, spiritual traditions have beckoned their adherents to admit their failings, their mistakes, their sins. It's all the same, really. Our faithful Jewish family members and friends will soon engage in the kind of self-examination commended by Yom Kippur. They'll reflect on the year just ended and all the ways that they have failed. They'll ask one another for forgiveness. They'll ask God for forgiveness. They'll enter a new year with the slate once again wiped clean. Our faithful Muslim family members and friends engage in prayer 5 times each day and then embark on a long Ramadan fast and in those acts admit their failures, measuring their lives against the best that they know. Our Roman Catholic family members and friends are invited to a formal confession, the admission of the gap between the ideals that they profess and the reality of who they have been. While weekly services in most Protestant traditions include a call to confession, a prayer of confession, and an assurance of pardon. Is all of this just religion's effort to manipulate with a regular infusion of guilt? Perhaps. Woody Allen jokes about such influence in his own life, claiming that when he played softball, he'd steal second base, then retreat back to first base with feelings of guilt. And then there's the church marquee that read, "Whoever stole our air conditioners, keep them. It's going to be hot where you're going." They do guilt. We have discussions and drink coffee. Because what? We're all doing the best we can. None of us ever F up. It raises a challenging spiritual question. If we too are human, fallible, imperfect, what do we do with our failures? Our failure. Our effing up. The ethicist Michael Josephson, in a conversation with Bill Moyers, offers a suggestion. I'll never forget, he said, when I first taught law and had to admit that I was wrong, I was about 6 years into teaching law before I ever admitted that I was wrong. Some student called me on something. My usual mode was to find a way of fast-footing it around, which you can do when you're a law professor with law students. But for some reason I said, "Well, you know, you're absolutely right." And the earth didn't open. I didn't fall in. I survived. I had admitted I was wrong, and I still had their respect. In fact, he continues, I'll never forget, because the student came up to me afterward and said, "That is the most significant thing I've seen in my educational career." He had never heard a professor admit being wrong. We're embarking on a challenging journey here. Answering the call to examine long-held assumptions, ways of understanding, commitments, and practices. It has already made many of us uncomfortable. It's likely to make us considerably more uncomfortable. Along this way, we'll come to see mistakes that we've made, and we'll make even more. What if in this challenging work we were to follow the lead of other faith communities, other people of compassion and goodwill? What if we were to embody in our own way a way of admitting more openly our failures and of hearing more compassionately the failures of others? Of course, it's easier to engage in defensiveness and denial, refusing to see, much less acknowledge, our complicity in the very brokenness that we decry. Of course, it's easier to engage in distraction, playing the gotcha game calling out others as a means of masking our own insecurities. We all fail. We all fall short. We all F up. It's okay. Breathe. Why don't we just admit it? We could start by offering someone an honest apology. We could accept with compassion some honest apology. Maybe that's what those Mexican friends were on to. A way for us to free our failures.